It's 4:06, and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rob Ferris.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up later this hour, a new AP report tracks the impact of ethanol production on the environment and says there's a lot of damage being done by federal ethanol requirements.
First, it's Geek Out time again with Wisconsin's own Patrick Rothfuss. This time around, Pat's on to share some great novels to help people get into fantasy and science fiction. He's the best-selling fantasy author of The Name of the Wind and The Wise Man's Fear. Pat, welcome back to the show.
Hey there.
So obviously you're a big fan of fantasy and science fiction. Why do you want to help evangelize for those genres for our listeners?
Well, I know what I hear from my readers a lot sometimes. They come up to me and they say, oh, you know, I've never read a fantasy book before I read yours. Or they say, I used to read fantasy when I was younger and then I fell away from it and now I'm back. And I've heard it so often that, you know, it's made me realize that a lot of people find it hard to kind of break in, but it's just like any genre. You know, once you are familiar with it and once you love it, it's easy to find books. But, you know, coming in is hard if you don't know what you're looking for.
Do you think there's a stigma attached to these genres at all? You know, kind of like how when Harry Potter was cresting, people on the subways would want to read ones with adult covers or ones that looked a little more camouflaged.
I think there is a little bit. It's probably not as bad as it used to be, but there is still a little bit of the misapprehension that fantasy is just for kids, you know, or it's kind of silly stuff that's just elves and dragons and magic, when that really couldn't be further from the truth, and anybody who reads in the genre, you know, knows that.
All right, so picture a listener out there. They head over to the library or the bookstore, and they head over to the fantasy and science fiction section, and they're overwhelmed by the hundreds and thousands of choices they have. What's a good place for them to start?
Well, I would probably, if I got to do it person to person, I would ask them, you know, what are you looking for? Do you like an action story? Do you like, you know, do you have a real love of the language? Do you like beautiful language? Because we all look for different things in stories. Are you looking for emotive characters? Do you like a little romance? Because, you know, there isn't just one type of fantasy. There isn't just one type of science fiction. But, you know, there's some go-tos. There's some books that I will hand to almost anyone with the knowledge that so long as they're not horribly prejudiced against the genre, odds are they'll enjoy them.
What is one?
Neverwhere is from Neil Gaiman, and it's a book that I have 10 copies of. I'll give it to anyone. And if you can't enjoy Neverwhere, then maybe fantasy isn't for you. One of his other books that I very much enjoy is Stardust. Neverwhere is my favorite. Stardust is my girlfriend's favorite. And they have amazing followings. If you want to maybe go in the science fiction direction, I would recommend Old Man's War by John Scalzi. Or if you want to get a little harder, a little heavier, you can go back a bit and read some Philip K. Dick, the book Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? That's the book that Blade Runner, the movie, was based off of. And it's in no way similar to the movie, but it's an amazingly good read.
Well, let's just assume someone is completely ignorant of this. Tell us a little bit about the plots of some of these. Let's start with Neverwhere.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch
Can you tell
that.
Us about the plots, some of what we might expect to read? Let's start with the Neil Gaiman suggestions you just gave.
Well, Neverwhere, it was probably one of the early precursors of urban fantasy, by which I mean fantasy novels that are set in the real world. And in that book, you know, the main character, Richard Mayhew, becomes acquainted with the London that he lives in. It's not the only London there is. He lives in London above, but there's also a London below, a different London that a different sort of person lives in. The people that slip through the cracks of the real world. And it's fascinating because it's about London, but it also has this strong mythic undercurrent, and it's a great example of that urban fantasy genre.
Well, let's take some of the subsets you said. Suppose somebody answered your initial question saying, Pat, yeah, I'll give it a try, but I need some fancy writing. I want some beautiful writing in anything I read. Where's some place to go for that?
If you wanted some beautiful language, like the best language I've ever possibly read in a book is from The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle. It's a cornerstone in the fantasy genre. And if you hesitate picking up a book with, like, a unicorn in the title, that's understandable. But you have to realize that this book is why unicorns are cliche now. Hmm. This is the book that made everyone fall in love with the concept of the unicorn. It is my absolute favorite novel.
And really?
Yeah, absolutely. I read it once a year. And every year I think, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's not as good as I remember it. And every year it is better than I remember it.
Wow.
I've had arguments with people who, you know, and a lot of us saw the cartoon.
Yeah, that's what I remember of The Last Unicorn.
Yeah, and, you know, honestly, it freaked a lot of kids out because it was this old Rankin and Bass animation and parts of it were a little spooky. But the book is perfect and sweet and beautiful, and there's not a word out of place. It's, you know, if I could buy everyone in the world a copy of The Last Unicorn, I would.
Wow. Well, I don't think you can get much higher praise than that for a book.
He'll defend that one on the field of honor, definitely.
Can you read that one to kids? Is it a kid's book, Patrick, or is it more of a grown-up thing?
There's not issues of, like, adult content in it. I think some of the language might be rough, maybe, you know, if you're younger than 14, you know, mm-hmm. 16. You know, but then again, an adult is going to get more out of the book than a kid. Or rather different things. Because I remember growing up, I loved Schmendrick the Magician, you know. And then, like, more recently when I reread it, one of the older characters, I'm like, wow, how did Peter S. Beagle write this when he was 20 years old? You know, because I can really empathize with this older character who feels this just so weary with the world.
Now, one book that Rob and I have passed back and forth, Rob read it, I haven't. And I think that I heard that you like this one as well, is Ready Player One by Ernest Cline. Is that one that you recommend?
Absolutely. It was actually here on my list, especially if you're a child of the 80s. It's nice, light, well-written sci-fi, and it's like a love poem to the 80s. It's got all this, it's an 80s montage. So if you were any sort of even a very mild geek, you will be reminded of all these things in the book, you know, from your childhood. It felt like he wrote that book just for me.
Mm. I was going to say, I felt like I was maybe a little too micro-targeted. Yep, had that, read that, played that, just like every main plot point keyed around a part of my 80s teen years.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people felt that way. And that by itself just shows the degree of craft in there. If you can convince 250,000 people that a book was written just for them, you know, that by itself shows that, you know, the amount of craft that's being put into these fantasy novels.
So the 80s references are in there, but this is about a video game, isn't it?
It's a cool, like, kind of post-apocalyptic U.S. where in this world, a person who grew up in the 80s effectively created immersive online virtual reality and then said he would leave his vast software empire to whoever beat, you know, whoever solved this riddle, whoever beat this game. And then so an entire, you know, generation of kids grew up learning about the 80s so they could unravel the puzzles. The 80s-based puzzles that he put in the game. So it's set, I think, 60 years in the future, but all the references are 1980s references. It's a really interesting melange.
All right, one more of your opening questions I wanted to get to. The category of people who want a ripping good yarn, they want a well-constructed plot and some nice action scenes. Can you give us a book or two for that audience?
I'll give you two, both of them fantasy. One of them is the Mistborn trilogy by Brandon Sanderson. It's good action. It's a cool secondary world with interesting magic in it. And good action, good plot. The other one is a book that I've recently reread and realized that I did not give it enough credit my first time through. It's called Lies of Locke Lamora. And that actually is a real rarity, where it's a combination of this beautiful secondary world fantasy. It's another world, but it's a heist novel. And on top of that, the language is beautiful too. It's really got everything that I want in a book. And that one is by Scott Lynch.
All right. Looks like we've got some good reading to take us into these colder months. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That was Patrick Rothfuss, best-selling fantasy writer of Name of the Wind and The Wise Man's Fear.
Coming up, we'll find out how ethanol production is affecting the environment, according to a new report from the AP. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.